Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli, your Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight is Michael Patrick. It has to be Patrick because he's Irish, McCarthy. And I could have said Philip or Paul, but he's Irish, so we have to assume that it's Michael Patrick McCarthy.
It is. Good to be here with you again.
Yes, it's great to be with you, Michael, and we are back on to open shows. Last week, Chris gladly took the mic from me and helped me out because I was helping my wife through hip replacement surgery. She's doing fantastic, and but this week we're back on an open show, Michael. An open show.
That means we need callers.
That means we need callers, or I have to talk to Mike tonight. And 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation. Maybe it's something that's it really could help you for either before the end of 2021 or maybe something that could help you greatly in 2022. And you want to ask that question, and knowing that there's probably 5, 10, 15, 20 other people out there that say, yeah, I'd really like to know the answer to that question, you know? So do them a favor too. They may not be courageous enough to call in as you and ask your question and let everybody participate and hear the answers to all kinds of questions. And that's why we do the show, Michael, is to demonstrate what we believe a true professional financial advisor should do, be able to address any topic, sort of like a doctor of personal finance. And if you went to your physician and said, I've got this going on, you wouldn't want them to say, well, I don't know anything about that. You know, go find somebody else to talk to. You know, you would expect your doctor to give you some good advice. And then if a specialist is necessary to come in, and that's what we do and what we demonstrate to our clients every week when we do the show, the Money, Riches, and Wealth. And on these open shows, we really try to demonstrate it because we have no idea what's going to come in and the questions they're going to ask. And hopefully we have done our job in helping our listeners, you know, get some reasonable understanding of the question and how to address it and how to deal with it into the future. So anyway, we're on an open show, Michael.
We are, and it didn't take us long for us to get our first caller. So without further
ado. And if I were next to you, you would have slapped me and say, will you shut up so I can get
our... Well, it used to be fun to throw things at you, but now I can't throw things at you. I'll work it out with Bev. Maybe she can help me out on that one. But without further ado, let's go to Eric in Denton. Eric, you had a question about an inherited account and how to invest for an older couple.
Yeah, I have come across an elderly couple in my job, and I've been trying to assist them with getting their home in order for older life and, you know, wheelchairs, walkers, that kind of thing. And okay. Getting to know them, I found out that all they have to live on for the rest of their lives is an inheritance account of about $70,000 and a paid-off home. And that's it. And they're both 68 and 71. And
well, they could have a long time to go.
Doing nothing.
Right.
That's why I'm a little scared for them, because it wouldn't be hard to burn that up very quickly.
So when you say an inheritance account, what do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that they inherited some money from the husband's parents when they passed away.
Okay,
in the amount of $70,000. It's in a checking account.
So it's just in a checking account and so forth. You know, that's probably, I got to admit, Eric, that's probably one of the greatest dilemmas that we approach in our business when somebody with very limited resources comes and says, well, how do I invest this? And I mean, my stomach turns because I don't know how you invest $70,000 if that's all you have to your name, you know. You know, I don't know about you, Mike, but that's probably one of the toughest things you'll do.
I think acceptance and realization. So the follow-up questions I would have is, you know, we assume they're also getting Social Security.
And just signed them up for it. He just received his first check. She will receive her first check in 5 days.
Yes. But you said he was 71, so what'd he do? He didn't even sign up at 70?
They didn't sign up and didn't sign up for Medicare either, so they're getting a $150 penalty a month for B&D when that comes online in June.
Why, what was it that, you know, they just didn't know what?
I think they just didn't know. And well, I find this in a lot of elderly people in our small town that I work for, that there's a group of people that just don't know, don't have kids, don't have anybody to help them, and the government is kind of lacking in ability to help them. They don't qualify for programs in this instance because of the money.
The $70,000 knocks them out of any ability to really, you know.
If you have any more than a couple grand, you ain't.
Well, that's true, but that there are other programs other than Medicaid and so forth.
There's the
what did they live off of before they started to collect Social Security and everything? Was they working?
He was working until he had some health issues, which he had to basically quit. He was passing out. He still has not gone to the doctors about that because he didn't have doctor coverage with B, which we've now solved, but he has a waiting period till June. She was in a hospital and now in a nursing home, and we're trying to get her home before the damn nursing home takes everything.
Right.
So we've got about 60 days left on the 100 days for Medicare before the...
Are you familiar with the SHIP people, SHIP, Senior Health Insurance Program in the state of Maryland?
I've been all through our county, which is really state health department and all of that, and I haven't heard of that, but I'm sure they know about it, and I probably bet that they just don't qualify.
No. SHIP is just, you and I can go talk to the SHIP people. They're merely consultants who can help guide them in a lot of things. And they may be able to help them with that Medicare penalty that they're paying and so forth. And one other thing I would give you, SHIP, you should look it up for your county, SHIP. Every county has one. And another thing I would suggest is you talk to your congressperson and ask them if there's any way that, you know, because of the mistake and so forth, if that Medicare penalty could be wiped away. And I don't think there is, but if anybody could do it, it's one of your congresspeople. And most people don't understand how they're there to help you with these types of things. So I would suggest that. But I really admire what you're doing to help these types of people when you come across them, because it's an incredible need. But that's what the SHIP people do. They're trained counselors in this, and it's totally available to anybody, no matter how much money they have. And they're very good. I got to give them that. They're very good. All right.
You'd be amazed at the gap in help that is, government programs.
You're preaching to the choir there, my friend. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've got to take a pause real quick. You want to hold on? We'll come back to you again, okay?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I had a question about possible things that they can do to help expand the money.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll bring you back after the break, but no other callers on the line, so call on in.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and Chris has already hit one of three of the top Christmas carols in Drew's book. You know, that was probably number two. That's probably number two. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and we're talking to Eric, but I'm not going to go back to Eric real quick. You just got to hold on with me for about 1 minute. I just wanted to say we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Let's go back to Eric now and see what we can answer for him, okay?
So, Eric, you had one other follow-up question.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Basically, you know, with the money that they only have, and now that we've secured Social Security for them that makes it safe for bills and stuff, you know, is there anything out there that can make them a little bit of money on this money to try to extend it?
I mean, yeah, there are, but there's nothing that, you know, everything comes with some kind of risk, et cetera. And so
what about like a bond or something, like a highway bond or government bond? Or,
yeah, but, you know, I'm assuming that they don't make a lot of income, right?
Well, no.
What do you think their tax return is? $30,000-$40,000 at the most?
Well, it was less than that when he was working. Now that they have Social Security, he's pulling 13, she's pulling 12.
Yeah, so they're probably in like a 0% tax bracket. So therefore, to buy any kind of municipal bond would be of no real benefit, right? To buy any kind of bond, you'd have to lock the money up for a certain period of time. I guess the number one thing I would recommend is, something like an online savings account. We use Capital One 360, Ally, Marcus. They're paying about 0.5% right now. So maybe you keep 10 or 20 in a checking account so that they have, you know, instant liquidity. Right. And then you keep the other $50,000 in an online savings account like Marcus Bank, paying 0.5%. That way it makes it a little more difficult for them to just get it and use it, et cetera. But it's easy enough to get. It's instantly liquid. And right now it's paying 0.5%. That's better than most bonds are paying, right? Unless you lock it up for 10 years or so.
Yeah, I don't think 10 years is an appropriate lockup for them.
No, I don't think so either. And definitely stay away from the annuity hawkers. I mean, those people will, you know, make a boatload of money off of them and give them nothing in return, basically. I think the online savings account is the best suggestion I can make. And I mean, you know, the other thing you could do is, you know, maybe take $20,000 and diversify it in some index funds, put $30,000 or so in an online savings account, and let them keep the other 20. I mean, that's about the best I could do. And that's why I say this has got to be the toughest question in all of being a financial advisor, somebody with very little amount of money and so forth. All right, Eric, great question.
All right, thank you.
And Merry Christmas. May God bless you for your work with people like this. All right?
Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right. Well, we've got some more callers on the line. Let's go right to Craig in Westminster. Craig, you had a question about RMDs.
I do. Well, I'm enjoying the show as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm turning 72 in June. So if I make a withdrawal in January, does that count towards that?
Sure.
Okay, that would count towards that. Now, I have three different companies that I have 403Bs with.
Right.
So are they each going to send me a statement sometime in the year telling me what I owe?
They may and they may not. It's not a responsibility of theirs to tell you. It's your responsibility to ask them.
Okay.
And so matter of fact, what I would say,
I guess, on the web and see my age and the amount and so forth.
Do you have any IRA money?
No.
Everything's in a 403B.
Yes. So I have Roth money, but that doesn't. Yeah.
Right. No, that's different. Let me ask you a question. Are you charitably minded?
Well, I do have a donor-assisted fund I put money in every year.
Okay, but here's what I want you to do is, in 2022, I want you to roll all of your 403B money out and into an IRA. Because there's really no reason, and that way you'll have it all in one spot. But you need to learn about QCDs, Qualified Charitable Distributions, but it can only be done from an IRA, not a 403B.
And I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they don't allow 403Bs to do that.
Look, Craig, the number one rule about tax laws is you don't ask why. You just memorize this stuff, okay? All right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Merry Christmas.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, you want to remind everybody that we're doing an open show?
Now let's go right to Warren. Let's get rolling.
Let's get, make sure I hit the right button. So the next we have is Warren in Morrell Park. Warren, you got a question about home title lock?
Oh, yes, sir. I always hear the advertisement on the radio for getting a home title lock. I'm trying to pay off my mortgage as quick as I can because I kind of want to move out of Baltimore City. And I was just wondering, is it worth it to do it?
I'm not a proponent of home title locks. I don't see the – I mean, I know that – You know, there have been situations of this, but if you get your mail and you open your mail and you have a credit lock on your credit accounts and you pay your taxes every year and so forth, I don't think there's any need for credit home title lock. I just don't. And there are some. You can go to some real estate commissions. Your local real estate board and say, hey, do you do any notification if anything's happening to my deed? And a lot of them do. So you could just call where you say you're in the city. You could call the city real estate people and say, hey, if anybody tried to do anything to my deed, do you send out notices, text messages, emails, et cetera, to me? And, I don't know if they do, but there's a lot of them that are doing that now. But it's rare that it'll happen, especially if you open your mail. You have very little reason to worry about it.
Okay. I was just curious about that because I do. I get a paper statement every month that I open, I read. And then, of course, I pay my taxes every year. So I do that. And I don't have a lock on my credit, but I still do get the paper statements for all my credit cards.
Right, but you, that's good, but you definitely need to freeze your credit reports. Everybody out there listening, if you're alive and you can hear me and you're breathing, lock your credit bureau accounts. Freeze them, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, unless you just want to cause yourself major headaches someday in the future.
Well, just out of curiosity, if I do freeze it, I need to buy like a vehicle or something.
You thaw it. I thaw mine all the time. Every so often I have something I got to do. I thaw it for a day or two and I say, you got 2 days to look at my credit report. It's very simple. Google search, Maryland Attorney General Credit Freeze. Okay. Everybody out there listening, Maryland Attorney General Credit Freeze. Read it. Very simple. Go online, do a credit freeze. Boom. And just learn how to thaw it. It's just as easy.
Okay, all right. Awesome. I appreciate it, Drew. Thanks for the tip.
Take care, Warren. Good question. Mikey, you didn't have anything on that home title lock, did you?
Not that you didn't say. But you know what? You know, it is that time.
Right. It is. Dan's got to hold on with us. Hope Dan will hold on. That's a great question. I'd love to answer that.
Yep.
Reverse mortgages. So anyway, go ahead, Mikey. What are you going to do?
All right.
You're going to tell everyone the phone number first, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back, Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Do you see what I see?
I think that's the wrong song.
I think that's number three.
Oh, so we were still waiting for Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
No.
Your top pick.
No. And it's not Grandma Got Run Over either, you know? Number one, it'll be next time. I'm sure he knows. I'm counting on it. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and we've got a couple callers online, Michael.
Yep.
So let's rock and roll with them.
All right. Very good. Dan in Pasadena, you wanted to talk about reverse mortgages.
Basically, you had the gentleman on a few minutes ago with the 70-year-old man and his wife in a home.
Yep.
And they had no income. Why didn't you mention a reverse mortgage?
Well, he didn't say they didn't have any income. He said they had low income.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can't remember. He did say they did own the house, right?
They own the house,
yes,
and they don't have any debt on it.
Clear.
And it's a good point. I mean, it can be useful. It also can be somewhat of a detriment.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I have used reverse mortgages in my 40-year career three times. I'm not a super fan of them, but there are times where it makes absolute sense. And this couple, if they had no children and they had no desire for inheritance and they needed cash, et cetera, I might seriously consider the reverse mortgage. But it's not a go-to thing for sure.
Well, I think that in the condition that he was saying that the couple was in, I'm sure their kids would say, you know, you've got to take care of yourself first. And the reverse mortgage, I mean, my mother had one. None of the children cared whether she had a reverse mortgage or not. We did not look for anything from her. She was never a large earner or anything like that. But when she passed, she owed within a couple of $100s of what the house appraised for.
Sure.
And we were very happy to simply sign the mortgage over and say, here. And it was very good for the estate. Everyone was happy. And I have a very, very positive experience with the reverse mortgage.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I've studied them. I understand them. I don't think they're great for a lot of people. And I take it and use them when I find it appropriate. And here's my rule. You have to answer yes to all four of these questions. Number one, do you need money? Most people answer yes to that. Number two, you know, are you going to stay in that house until the day you die? Probably. And, you know, you answer yes to that. Number three, do you not care what it costs, period? And sometimes your reverse mortgages can be ridiculous cost, you know, to the people. Now, I will admit that the costs have come down since the Obama administration required them to have a more regulated fee structure and so forth. And the last question is that you have to answer yes to is you don't care what's left over at the time you pass away. And in your parents' situation, that was yes, 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 and yes, and you had a positive experience. But I don't always find those easy answers, yes, 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 yes. But good point, Dan. And thank you for bringing it up.
No problem. I really appreciated it. In her case, it gave her money to gamble on, so she kept her happy.
Very good.
That's cool. You know, my mother would probably do the same thing, but what's next from Mikey?
All right. Thanks, Dan. Dan, I need to give me 1 second. So we are going to go right to Washington. He's wants to talk about charitable contributions. Hi, Washington.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Washington. How you doing?
Okay. Yes. Came across an article today regarding IRS charitable contributions.
Yep.
That the IRS Act and Taxpayer Certainty and Disaster Relief Act, they're going to allow up to $300 single and $600 joint deductions for charitable contributions, and you don't have to itemize?
Correct. And there was 300 last year. This year it's going up to 300 for singles and 600 for married. So that was the law last year, too.
Okay. All right. So two questions. Does it really make that much of a difference, that amount for contributions?
No, it's, you know, for the most wealthiest of people, it's $600 would be $260 total tax savings. So if you did 600, you're going to save 260, and that's for the wealthiest person, the highest federal tax bracket, and being in the state of Maryland, you'd save about $260.
Yeah, I think one of the motivations for this is that some of the charitable organizations felt that when it became widely known that most people weren't going to be able to take advantage of a direct charitable contribution, they kind of threw up their hands to their congresspeople and said, hey, this is really hurting us. Couldn't you just give us the first, you know, few hundred bucks so people still feel like they get something out of it? There's a lot of psychology that goes along with that.
Right. Yeah, they were looking for, you know, $50, $100 donations from people. And so that's what they were, you know, so it was more for the charity than it was for the individual.
Right. Okay.
All right, Washington, great question. And go ahead. What's your...
This is going to be a good question. So then I take it there's no benefit for the Maryland state taxes because you're not itemizing. Is that correct?
Well, there is a benefit because the Maryland tax return follows the federal. So if you got the $300 deduction above the line on the federal tax return, then it will still be off the return when it gets to the Maryland tax return.
Oh, okay. So then this is one of those times where it's not like you win on the federal, but you lose on the state.
No, this one here is because it's above the line. Maryland takes your adjusted gross income and then begins to work on the tax return from that point, okay? So the 300 or 600 is above the line before the adjusted gross income, and therefore it will be out of the Maryland return. Not like itemized deductions. If you don't itemize federal, you're not going to get it state. Yep, that's a good point, my friend.
Okay.
One question for you. Yeah. Reb's chocolate still the best chocolate?
I think so. When my mother used to be in the hospital, I'd always get Reb's chocolates in order to give to the nurses and staff and everybody as an appreciation. And before I learned about Reb's, I was always giving other chocolates, let's say. And then a neighbor of mine told me about Reb's, and then when I found them, it's like great chocolates, and you don't pay any premium price like the big brand.
And I have to go, but I just want to say I agree with you, Washington.
Yep. We do too up in Hunt Valley.
Okay. All right, we got to go. Washington. Have a Merry Christmas, my friend. And let's go to Earl. We have time, yeah.
Hi, Drew, how you doing?
Great.
I'll tell you what I'm calling. You mentioned about the freeze, the Maryland attorney freeze. They called me from American Express, and they said they wanted to know whether somebody applied for credit in my did I apply for it. And I told them no. So is that what it helps you when you have a credit put in a credit freeze?
Yes, I've had a credit freeze on my credit bureau account since 2006, okay? Mm-hmm. Anybody who applied for credit while my credit is frozen with those credit bureaus without me thawing it, okay, they get an immediate rejection. And I know this for a fact, Earl, because since 2006, three times I mistakenly applied for credit without lifting my credit freeze, and three times I instantly, they didn't even take a second, they said, sir, I'm sorry, sir, we can't, you were denied. And I was denied?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, you were denied. Your credit bureau report came back and said, you're denied.
When he called me up from American Express, he said, this is a very important phone call, and it's not a sales thing, and we're calling just to check on it. So I said, I never applied for it. Well, he said, somebody has your Social Security number, and they applied for it. So I asked the guy, I gave him the file number and everything, and he said, okay, you're not on the list anymore. So I asked the representative, so what's your name? So I have a record of who I'm talking. A guy said, well, I'm not telling you my name. We never say our last name.
I would never talk to anybody who calls me on the phone and says they're with something or the other. I would ask, Right. What I would do is I would say, okay, thank you for calling. I'll take care of it. And right. I'd hang up, and then I would call back.
So that's going to protect me that nobody can. But how about if somebody has my Social Security number and they're applying for credit, and they have a credit card on my credit or my name?
There's nothing they can do if your credit bureau reports are frozen.
So all I do is just call them up.
Do the Google search first.
I went on Google.
And look at the bottom of the page, and you'll see the websites to go to freeze your credit, okay?
Okay.
Don't try calling them. Do it online. All right, I got to run. It's a great call. Maybe we ought to do a whole show on credit freezes, Mike.
We probably could.
We have to go. We'll be right back. Open show 410-922-6680. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You got to keep it going, Chris. You got to keep it going because this is the number one song. Here it comes.
The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
I think we just violated something, didn't we, Chris?
Probably. That's okay. Chris will send you the bill. I wanted to leave you out there, though. That was a great solo. That's the most singing I think anyone's going to hear you do all year.
I don't know about that. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and you have a caller online, right, Mikey?
We do, but didn't you want to talk about something first?
I do. A client of mine a couple days ago got a letter. And here's what it says. It's from the state of Maryland, Comptroller of Maryland. It says 2020 original Maryland personal income, 2021 original Maryland personal income tax return was filed on your behalf fraudulently. Okay. 2021. Now, yeah. I was shocked by that. I'm like, how do you file a 2021 tax return? And fraudulently, but here's the punchline. Maryland says, this is what Maryland's saying, is because you are a victim of this identity theft potential, they stopped the return. They didn't let it go through, okay? I said, because you're a victim of this identity theft, we can't accept your return being filed by a third-party software, like the Financial Consulate. You can't come to the Financial Consulate and say, hey, I want you to file my tax return electronically, with your software and so forth. I can't do it. I can do the tax return, but they're saying I've got to print it out in paper and mail it to the state of Maryland. And, you know, I mean, th- that to me, and here's the punchline, is that I wrote to Peter Francho and said, this is ridiculous. You're not going to let us file electronic returns. They got to file paper return. And then I hadn't gotten a response from Peter, and that was about 2 days ago. And then today I get a letter to my wife and I, Andrew and Beverly Tignanelli, a 2021 original Maryland personal income tax return was filed. And you can't file your return electronically either. And then I wrote him again, and I said, you know, this is ridiculous. What is Maryland doing to protect? And I want to know, because before I go on the radio tonight, I am going to do my own interpretation unless somebody calls me and tells me what you think and what Maryland has to say. And, well, you know, lo and behold, Andy from the state comptroller office called me at 3:30, and I managed to get back to him at 4 o'clock. We had a great conversation about what's going on and so forth. He says, you'll never believe some of the things we receive, the fraudulent returns we receive. We catch a lot of them. He claims, this is his claim, I don't have proof of it, that Maryland is considered one of the most successful cyber identity theft tax return departments in the entire country, including the federal government, who's horrible. The federal government's probably sent out hundreds of billions of dollars of fraudulent tax return refunds. And supposedly, according to Andy, they've done an excellent job and have a very sophisticated algorithm, artificial intelligence, to identify identity theft returns. He thinks that the reason it was a 2021 return is that it's cyber criminals just testing their system to see how strong they are, and they'll just won't waste their time. It's kind of like, you know, you go to your neighbor's house and the door's locked tight, and then they walk over to your house and your house is, you know, fully open. You know, the burglar's going to go into your house. They're not going to go into the neighbor's house. And he thinks that's what they're doing, is they're testing systems throughout the country and seeing whose systems are the most sophisticated. And then they're going to leave them alone. They're just going to spend their time after the ones that aren't very sophisticated. But here's a bad part of the story. I asked him about the unemployment. You know, earlier this year, somebody filed unemployment in my name, saying that I got laid off by my company. And now Mike could have done it to me.
Yeah, I thought about it. You've made some comments over the years that have tested my patience.
But he didn't. So we told the Department of Labor that it wasn't me asking for unemployment. But Mike has never been able to identify whether the Department of Labor stopped paying that person who said they were me.
No, I tried multiple times. The online system got shut down because it just got overwhelmed. I tried calling in, and it was a loss. I mean, they drowned, you know.
And it's estimated that Maryland alone paid out possibly $2 billion in fraudulent unemployment claims. And that
we don't have anything to back that, but that's,
we don't have
that's
anything.
Thought.
That's a statement that we've heard, and that it's $100 billion possibly throughout the country. Now, remember, a lot of that money came from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So it wasn't actually Maryland's money. It was really the federal government's money going through the hands of Maryland. So anyway, my point of the story is that if you got one of these letters, you're not going to be able to file electronically. You're going to have to file paper. I've asked the state of Maryland, asked Andy, who called me. I said, you should set up a special P.O. box that if we're forced to file paper, that we can send it to this P.O. box. They'll know that it's one that they demanded that you had to pay, or you had to file via paper, and that they would give you extra attention so your return's not sitting with hundreds of thousands of other people who are sending their returns in foolishly via paper. Nobody out there listening should send their tax return in via paper unless you are forced to, like this letter is forcing us to. I'm saying that very sincerely. Do not send paper tax returns to either the federal or state government. Send it electronically. It is the wisest thing to do. Just like getting a credit freeze is an incredibly wise thing to do. Anyway, Mike, go.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we got to Clinton and Catonsville. So let's go
to Clinton.
To Clinton. Clinton, how can we help you with your question?
Okay, very quickly here. I've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and I've been trying to get a social worker to help me, you know, with my finances, you know, how I should spend my money. And is that a good thing to do, or should I consult a financial advisor to help me with that?
Well, what do you think your net worth is?
$400,000.
$400,000. Are you single or married?
Married.
Married. Okay. I would, you know, do you think it's going to be something that is possibly end up in a nursing home or anything?
Probably, yeah.
But for just a short period of time or for a long period of time?
Probably for a long period of time. And I can't afford a nursing home, so.
Well, that's why you should definitely be talking to an elder care attorney. You're familiar with elder care attorney. They're the ones that will help you and your wife protect your assets so that, you know, if you did end up in a nursing home, she would not, you know, lose a lot of the family wealth. And a lot of people don't understand that an elder care attorney can do amazing things, especially for a husband and wife, to protect the assets. And that would be the number one thing that I would suggest.
Okay, thank you very much.
But I just want to say, my friend, may the Lord be with you and, you know, take care of you throughout this time and your family.
Oh, well, he will certainly.
There's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
Take care. Anyway, Mikey, we're pretty much out of time. What do you have to say for yourself?
The only thing I have to say for myself is that I hope everyone has a really wonderful holiday, and I hope that they have a really wonderful Christmas. And, you know, we appreciate being on the air for you and trying to answer questions and be helpful. And we hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, I hope that I think our listeners appreciate what we do when we come on and do this and help answer questions and so forth. You know, we enjoy it. We do get clients out of it, but our main objective is just to educate and teach. That's our main objective. That's been the way our firm has always operated, you know?
Yes, it has.
Anyway, Mikey, it's always a pleasure being with you. And I just want to say you guys all have a Merry Christmas and God bless you.